Are you ready to explore living life with greater ease, more joy, and doing what you love to do? Imagine That Coaching can help you discover possibilities, direct connect you to your personal passions. Visit www.dianesturner.com or call 847-824-6949. Imagine That Coaching, connecting person to passion. 847-824-6949. Toll free, 866-398-8877.
Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to expand our frontier and possibilities with none other than our possibilities coach, Diane Turner, based between Chicago and Tucson. How are you this morning, Diane?
I am well, Tara. Thank you. Nice to be here with you.
As always, I know, and you've got so much cooking like we all do this time of year and otherwise. You know, Diane, of course, this is our 12th segment, so one per month, so a full year of collaborating together. I can't thank you enough.
Well, I was kind of blown away by the fact that it was our 12th segment, and you know, I feel like so much has happened, and it's been such a great year, and thank you for hosting me and encouraging me along the way. It's been wonderful.
And, you know, sometimes people don't know how to say Happy New Year in the middle of the year, but I think we can do it here in September.
Absolutely. And, you know, being Jewish, this actually is the time of our New Year. So, interestingly, it's kind of a double-edged sword because it's the beginning of a lot of things that people do, going back to school and planting crops and planting flowers and getting ready for the winter. And in the Jewish faith, it's also the beginning of the Hebrew calendar and the ending of our most sacred book. So it's a time of great reflection.
Yeah, it's this idea of beginnings, and of course, you know, you've been supporting me through the upcoming trip I'm going to take to get my son off to college for the first time. And so while there are these profound beginnings, there's also some of these endings that are playing out. But, you know, the funniest thing for me is I'm finding myself remembering, thank goodness, when I first went off to college. And so, you know, some of that, what would we call it, coming full circle, even in our own lives as we help others with theirs.
Well, I was thinking about that whole concept of coming full circle, and for me, what has changed in my awareness of that is that I used to think about it as completion, and now I actually think about it as expansion. So it's not so much a closing of a circle as it is expanding into the next circle. So almost spiral as opposed to circular. So it's an interesting just geometric vision to consider.
Well, but, you know, some people would jump to the conclusion, well, the spiral, you know, if you're spiraling in, that might mean contracting,
right?
Or if you're spiraling out, then you're out of control. But be that as it may, I know that you enjoy, actually, as part of your work with Imagine That personal and professional coaching, helping people navigate through that kind of a mindset change. And I think the spiraling outward, in other words, the expansion, calls for having a tremendous amount of trust and letting go of things.
Well, it does, and it also, it is, interestingly, if you think about the breath, and which is something that I use quite often when I help people connect to themselves and really take that journey in their lives for whatever's coming next, the breath is both an expansion and a contraction. Nature both expands and contracts, so we need both. We need the contraction and we need the expansion. And when I work with people, I really work with them on acknowledging both parts, not being stuck in any one part or attached too firmly to any one part, but really acknowledging that life is a series of expansions and contractions. And what we want to do is we want to try to be intentional about what we're creating and then respond with a certain level of awareness when we're in contrast or in contraction.
Well, you know, even though you said intentional in what we are creating, quite often, though, people feel they aren't creating things, but rather they're having things done to them. So isn't that part of that process of you're working with them to keep them in the driver's seat?
That is, well, and I think that's part of coaching, is recognizing that we really are not victims to our lives. We really are in the driver's seat for our lives. And so many of us feel that sense of being out of control, or that sense of wanting control where that might be an illusion. And so it really is about recognizing and chunking down the things that we can be in charge of, so that we feel more powerful and we can be more in the driver's seat for our own lives.
Can you give us an example of a client, or I know you also work with couples through this type of a process as well, where you've seen them mindfully take some of these steps to maybe even, fair to say, get out of our own way?
Yes, I was thinking about that in thinking about this segment. I was thinking the one example that came up for me is a young man that I've been working with, who is at that stage of his life where his career is expanding and he's trying to make some decisions about what's coming next for him as he outgrows one position and then is wanting to grow into something else. And many of us have had these experiences as we come up and through our lives, and it speaks to how old I'm getting now, because those choices seem so different at this stage of the game. But in your 20s or 30s or even your 40s, where often the choices are fairly broad, and we have opportunities to expand our knowledge and expand our experience. So anyway, with this client, he is now getting ready to interview for some new positions, and what I've noticed is that he's trying so hard to practice what he knows to create something that he feels will be more satisfying, and his language is very much a language of lack rather than a language of abundance. So it's more about the wanting of something than the desiring of something or the creating of something. Now, for some people, this may seem like a small thing, just to change a word, but what he has done and what we've done together is he's actually written a letter to his next job.
Great.
Even though he doesn't know what it is, he's written a letter to it. And he's imagining himself in a position that would feel satisfying and that would utilize his skill set as it exists now and leave room for him to expand into something more. So he really had to look at the language he was using as he was writing that letter. So initially, I didn't say anything. I just said, write a letter to your next job and see what it sounds like. And he did that very willingly. Good. He's a wonderful student. So he then came back to me and read his letter, and it was all about wanting. Well, I want this and I want that. And I just, as the being a coach, being his coach, I just asked him a question about, would it change anything if you begin to insert a different set of words instead of wanting, and you started to say, I imagine myself doing this or being in this way. I feel confident as I step into. And so really taking some ownership of what it is he wants and what his skills are and who he is now as he moves into this next position.
And you know, the technique you've outlined there, and particularly to have your client read the letter out loud and see how they stand when they present that information, it begs for, at least the metaphor I use is, are they auditioning for a job, or are they walking in really already having it?
Exactly. And there is a huge difference in the energy of those two things. When you're auditioning for something, you're actually leaving a lot of space for rejection.
In fact, sure.
So in a way, yeah, I have a lot of actors and actresses that I see in my practice, and they are so frustrated sometimes because of the level of rejection that they feel. And so, as an example, even with them, it's not so much about the audition as it is about them practicing being in that role, practicing playing that part, so that if they don't get it, then it isn't about them not being good enough or them not really being present to what it is they wanted to be present to. It's about them practicing being there, being in that role, and really taking that on as part of their next expansive persona.
Well, I like your the concept of writing the letter, as you've indicated. The other technique I've used with clients is, you know, particularly an example, someone who is really putting their all to get an academic post at a new university. Then I tell them, well, get a hold of the sweatshirt from that university or the nightshirt or the coffee mug or the baseball cap and start wearing it now.
Oh, I love it. That's
you know,
great.
Or the client that says this is the new location of this company. I said, well, have you looked at what your commute would be, and why don't you start doing the commute now before you even get there? Or figure out where you're going to have your coffee on the way to work. Where do you think the best lunch spots are, and start doing that and see and play out like it fits. And I tell you, I did this with one client who was very insecure at the onset of this delivery, but got more and more envisioning of that drive to the new office. Plus, you know, the company logo, even went so much as to already print up a little business card, because you can do that off the internet, and just put it in her wallet, of course, never showing it to anybody. Before she even interviewed for the job, she already was there. And guess what? She got the opportunity.
What's so interesting is, as we're talking about this, I'm remembering something that I learned so many years ago. When I started my therapy practice, I started by working with people who were in early recovery with drug and alcohol addiction. And so many of them had not practiced being sober. It was something they hadn't experienced for so much of their lives. And so I remember being in the position of saying to them, act as if. What would that be like if for you to actually act as if you knew what you were doing? And then don't worry about that. Just let it go. And then we would play with that a little bit when they had some event they had to go to for the first time without alcohol, and they didn't know what they were going to do. So let's talk about that and look at the different aspects of what you might need to be prepared for and act as if. So in essence, that's what we're talking about. And the expansion of that in coaching is really about doing some very concrete, taking some concrete steps that make it possible for you to really feel aligned with whatever's coming next.
You know, you started this comment about your one client about his outgrowing one thing and then preparing to go for the next.
Yeah.
You know, and this metaphor of the spiral, if we think about the Nautilus, and the fact that the Nautilus itself grows by building its shell in front of itself, right? And it's expanding in that direction. But the other thing that the Nautilus does is it puts a door behind itself so it will not fall back into the smaller space, get trapped and die.
Yes.
So part of that outgrowing one thing, not to say we want to forget it, the good, the bad, the different, by the way, but to acknowledge it's time to move on. And I think that both of us have worked with enough people that, and I even reflect on my own life, where you think, I still want to hold on to a piece of that because it feels good and secure, but I really have to let go and get some closure in some way before I can really, truly go to what could help me grow next.
Well, what was interesting for this young man is that he currently has a job and he has a contract for another couple of months, and he's very actively pursuing other positions actually that will require a big move for him for him to take his next job. And his current boss came to him and said, your contract is coming up for renewal and we're just wanting to know what are you wanting to do, and are you going to stay with us? We'd like to give you some additional responsibilities. And he is very clear that he is not going to be able to grow and expand if he stays where he is. And the way he handled that was very interesting, because he said to me, it felt to him like there was a sense of desperation coming from his superior, and that he didn't want to respond to that by being desperate. So he left the door open in case the next job doesn't manifest in the time frame that he would like it to, because in essence we're not really completely in control of every aspect of this. But he was very clear with his boss that he felt that perhaps he needed to move in another direction. So he left the door open, and he also closed the door at the same time.
Interesting.
So I thought it was a very interesting way to handle it, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm sure some of our listeners, though, are saying, well, he's a very fortunate soul, because most people are more anxious about giving up anything, given, you know, not knowing what's on the other side of the door, you know, the economic situation, you know, there are changes in their organization. But probably also another reason why people won't step out like your client is they really don't know what they want to go to next.
Well,
and so that right away keeps them anchored where they are.
That's right. And so as another example, I want to give you an example of another client that I have who's exactly in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a young woman who I've known for quite some time, and she is in a relationship that in which she is, there is a deep emotional connection, and yet there are many, many problems. They are not married. They do live together, but they've been together a while, and she's had a lot of relationship experience, and she knows that there is a connection between her and her partner. However, she also knows that ultimately, unless there's some big changes that get made in the relationship, she's not going to really be able to stay there. So that's creating some stress for her, some anxiety for her. And what we are working on is actually for her not to make a change, but just to create more awareness and to be very clear about what she needs to be her most expansive self within this relationship. So it isn't always about leaving or deciding what's or focusing on what's coming next. It really is about staying exactly where you are and focusing on what's working and focusing on what's not working, and then letting that guide you and fill in some of the blanks that you're living with.
And most certainly people that find themselves in a difficult situation at the office, that how oftentimes, you know, you talked earlier about taking a deep breath and putting things in better perspective, that our view of what's in front of our nose right now, if we can get some distance from it and set some boundaries, I think that's really what you're speaking to, right? Emotional boundaries. And in some regards, you know, well, maybe I just won't attend those team meetings every other Wednesday. Maybe I'll see if there's a way I can contribute, you know, once a month, because my emotional level goes up too high or something of that sort.
Well, I do think we have to at times identify what our own personal lines in the sand are.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to know, if I act in this way, am I being true to myself or am I abandoning myself? And how far can I go before I start to really have regret about that, or I start to generate resentment or negative feelings towards the people that I work with or the people I'm in relationship with? And so it is about setting boundaries, and it also is about identifying what our bottom lines are, knowing what's tolerable and what's not tolerable.
Well, and I think that those kind of boundaries, of course, particularly if you're working in a system or you're living in a system with other human beings, is you have to be prepared to negotiate some, but if it comes across, you know, comes up against your value set, you know, like your one client earlier who said, you know, he wants to be about expansion right now, and if that isn't possible where he currently is, then if he chooses to stay, that's the road to potential stress and sickness of being not in the right place.
Exactly, exactly. And a sense, a deeper sense of self-abandonment and self and disrespect for yourself. And then you have to, then it's about really observing. So if I'm living in a disrespectful way to myself, am I generating disrespect from others?
Right.
So much of the time we will generate something that mirrors something for ourselves. We've talked about this before.
Oh, and easily, and it's a mirror you've seen multiple times. For those of you who just turned in, we're speaking, of course, with our broadcast partner, Diane Turner, from Imagine That Professional and Personal Coaching Services. You know, Diane, in this year, of course, you've taken a big step and a launch. You're in the midst of putting your thoughts together in the sake of a self-help book, as well as part memoir in writing a book. So that's been, that journey continues.
That journey, it has continued it to almost a point of releasing it into the world. So I'm just about done with my part of it, and then the next part is that it goes to the publisher, who will then format it and make it look wonderful and represent really what it is that I want to put out into the world. And I have to tell you, I'm finding myself holding on a little bit to it, because it has been one of the most gratifying experiences of my life, and now letting it go is a little bit like, you'll relate to this, or it's a little bit like sending your child off to college.
The
first day of school, it's like, oh my goodness, now what? So it is stepping into that unknown space of now what.
But it's, there's a bit of a dichotomy, though, because that's, of course, the reason you wrote the book. Or in our case, for the, our listeners who are parents, is you really should be so excited about those days when the fledgling leave whatever portion of the nest. Now, at this age, of course, he does have a return ticket and will come back quite often. But still, this is what you prepared yourself for all along. But yet, when it's really there, you might get what you asked for.
Well, and, you know, are any of our experiences all one thing or all of another thing? I think it's part of what we talked about earlier. It's that expansion and constriction. There's this willingness to really put myself out there and put this book out there with the hope and the intention and the desire that it will be read and it will be appreciated by people that need to read it, and that it will provide some insight and hopefully inspiration. For me, it has really just been such a satisfying experience and a new experience. I've never written a book before. I don't consider myself a professional writer, and so I've really had to grapple with what my own fears and doubts have been around this, and so practicing some of my own coaching style on myself has been part of this process. It's been interesting.
So, indeed. So you've already practiced, what are you going to wear to your first book signing and your first press conference, and what happens when the New York Times bestseller list hits on Sunday and you see you're listed? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wish I could honestly say that I've gotten that far, but I think I'm just getting to the place where I actually have the book and I can envision that.
So just envision that in your hand.
Yeah, so perhaps the next part is going to happen after I let it go, and then I can start to dream bigger about what's going to happen as a result. So, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, if in my coaching practice and also in my therapy practice, if I can just stay a few steps ahead of the curve, I think I can be pretty helpful to the people that come to me for help. So that's what I'm practicing.
Well, you know what, and I'm in the similar place. I just last week had a really remarkable client who I've been associated with for over a year and a half, and he chose to take pause in our relationship together because he had some other things he was struggling with. So it was interesting when we met again this year, just recently, and he said, you know, I went back and reviewed all the email you had sent me and all the notes I'd taken from our first sessions, to which I almost gasped because I said I had no idea he was saving all this stuff.
Right.
And so my only hope was that I was going to be consistent now as we would go forward as a re-engage, and sure enough, he did say that was the case. And, you know, it's like anything. What's the famous, you know, Gallo wine? You never open a bottle of wine until it's time.
Right, right.
So it's the same way. As much as you're anxious about the publication of your book, you know, you don't want to rush that too much because there's still some joy in the journey, just like your one client of outgrowing one thing to make room for the next, even though you might not know what next is. And I'm sure any of our listeners who are authors themselves tuning in today, they're probably smiling ear to ear and saying, you know, she has no idea what's going to happen once that kid is born. Right, like none of us who become parents.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And by the way, along with that, as I move into my second year of being a broadcast partner, not really thinking about this ahead of time in terms of how long I was going to do this, I know you and I had a conversation about, well, let's do it for a year and see what happens. Well, I've been having so much fun with it and really feeling a certain level of expansion and satisfaction and appreciation for the opportunity. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. I don't have a clue.
Well, guess what? Of course, I didn't say that at the beginning of your segment, but today is our 301st show in 4 years. And me, something that started almost as a dare in 2008, who knows where we're going to take it next, but it's sure a pleasure to have you with us in the process, Diane.
Well, thank you. I have so enjoyed it. And this whole idea of coming full circle, whether it's an actual circle, whether it's a spiral or however you envision it, the fact is that there needs to be both a looking back and an acknowledgement of how far you've come, because we all, even if we do that on a day-to-day basis where we take a look at where we started in the morning and where we ended up in the evening, it allows us to make a course correction if we need to.
Yes, exactly.
And so I think that's the opportunity to envision our lives in a circular way, envision them in a way that isn't linear, so that we really can feel the power and the hopefulness of that.
Indeed. Well, great. Well, Diane, again, thank you for joining us. For our listeners, it's www.dianesturner.com, or you can reach her also at 866-398-8877. Diane, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be in touch soon.
Thanks, Ara. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.